welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
In this old town, I've tried to play my cards right. Get my shit together, myself on track. Try to get the hell out of here. But my luck ain't faithful. Sometimes the dealer don't play right. Taking all my money, my chances, leaves me hanging in the wind. Yeah. The smooth sounds of the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Three Wise DMs. There's no chance that either of you got that one. Because you want to know why? Because I also did not have that one. I was looking up, like, towns, buildings, something. And that's This Old Town by Clay George. I think it was on the Justified program on the soundtrack or something from what I was reading. But I listened to the song. I was like, this is it. This is literally Boomtown, baby. Like, that's the song. Like, that's our theme song. I'm going to call Clay George. I think he's going to write a soundtrack.
He's got a Firefly kind of vibe to it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can't take the sky from me. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Again, like I said, welcome back to Three Wise DMs. We are continuing on our real-time world-building experiment with the community. We are deep in it. We have finally figured out how magic seems to work in this world of the Boomtowns. But if you go back to episode 174, we started to talk about building the first town, the first boom town. And then we kind of got into commerce. Why do towns exist in the first place, which is helpful. Then we kind of got sidetracked a little bit talking about magic again. We finally tied that up a little bit. You could go back last episode. But tonight we are going to actually go into the first of the boom towns. So in essence, what we're looking at as this is like the starting town in adventures within this campaign setting, give or take, right? Now, you guys have been voting. Thank you very much for that. We have it is designated Boomtown number one by the shady corporation conglomerate people on the East Coast. We don't know yet. That's future episodes. But designation Boomtown number one, you guys are talking about, what are we going to call this, right? Because the citizens are going to call it what they call it, right? The government is going to call it what they call it, right? But when we're talking about this kind of company town, this Boomtown that has been set up to find the magic that is starting to be discovered in the waste, the tech, what are people doing in the town and what's in the town? So we're doing what Tony is sometimes worries about, but we're going to build the town a little bit. So we're going to see how this goes. What does this look like for an adventuring town? The first where we drop in the adventure.
Well, what's good about this town is it's not going to be like super huge. We're not talking about metropolis. We're talking about a nice border town with some interesting things in it that you'd expect for this kind of environment. So what are the low-hanging fruits? We're talking about maybe a sheriff's office and a saloon where we can get some quests, info, rumors, wherever you want to disperse that information. Those are really easy places to do it at. The general store, perhaps faction or factions presence, where you can find bounties. I mean, there's got to be some bounties on someone you're going to see across. You're going to see that and be like, should we have to go after those people? Things your party can kick around. We have places where that information can lead to new locations, rumors, and of course you need a bank and a saloon. I mean, with all those classic, real flavorful locations.
You need 110 saloons. Thank you, Tombstone. But
I'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later. But yeah, I think for something like this, for something like a border town, obviously you have like what Tony was talking about. You have your general store and your sheriff's office, and there may be multiple ones of that depending on the size of the boom town. But for a place like that, it like they're on the edge, so they're living by the shipment, right? A lot of these businesses are going to be placed by the corporation. This is the corporation doctor's office and general store and other things like that. And so everything that they're getting, for a large part, is going to be coming via shipment, via train or carriage. So the train station, the way that the shipments weigh on everybody, and the fact that there's corporation-placed businesses, but they're run by the people in the town there, would be cool. Mixed in with trading post stuff. So there'd be that idea of the tech coming in. There isn't an outlet that is legal to be able to sell and trade that, right? Everything's supposed to go back to the corporation, but there's going to be a lot of that happening inside of the town based upon just the people, like, you know, finding alleyways and other places outside town to do that kind of trading.
So all absolutely things that are going to go in this town. I mean, like, those are the first things that you just rattle off, Tony, are like the things that everyone's going to start to go, well, yeah, we need this. So that's easy. But to bounce off of our last episode where we tied up the last of magic, we started talking about like divine magic, the cleric class, possibly the paladin, things like that. So instead of starting what is in the town, I would posit what isn't in the town, and what isn't in the town, which is very different for a boom town, border town, Weird West, is a church. There's no, right? Because we kind of got into how religion, how the prophet, how the clerics, and this type of thing might be happening, where it is this, it's almost a resistance. It is something that is a problem for the corporation. So I would say what starts first is what we don't have, which I would say like a church or any kind of, Tony, you brought this up last episode, like the corporation, like we still haven't kind of said what we're going to call that yet, but they're kind of like they're faithless. They're materialistic. They're science based. They're this, like, they don't, like, that's an issue. You know what I mean?
And it also, there could be churches, but they'd be illegal. And in many ways, they would be like the speakeasies. Weirdly enough, the saloons would be out there. Everyone could be out drinking, but the churches would be underground. You'd have to go and meet in some special place that people would be around town. And they'd send the lawmen to come in and wipe out these churches. So there certainly wouldn't be ones where it would be like a Whitechapel kind of thing there. But there definitely would be underground places where people would go and congregate.
So are there approved churches, like perhaps ones that don't actually have divine magic and
like
don't...
it's all bullshit, right? Like they just, but it's a way to keep the people.
The corporation, maybe. Yeah, the corporation church, that one's the big white chapel sort of idea, right? In town.
It's like Dune like with the orange Bible, right? Or whatever. Dude, so, yeah, Tony, that's a good point. But like, so I want to go even a little deeper from Chris, what you were saying. Or Tony, so churches, like maybe there are some sort of like formalized place of worship that's approved by the conglomerate, right, or something like that. But like the real churches, like the ones who are starting to be spoken of by the prophet and stuff, they're in the town, but we could position them more like the thieves' guilds. And thieves can't, right? Like the thieves, like the way they speak to each other within the thieves' guilds and like these shadowy operations, but it's because they are, they're starting to spread. Well, I'm thinking like early Christianity, like they used symbols like the fish and things like this to alert people who knew, but to keep out any Greeks or Romans who were maybe not wanting that to happen, right?
The corporate presence would certainly be hunting for them. What would not be in our town, though? I would say there would definitely not be an ice skating rink. We wouldn't have a food court.
All right. Hold on. You brought this up, so now I got to say it. So the reason that you guys both heard Chris and Tony kind of like offhandedly talk about this. So before the cast, I just went, since Tombstone was kind of the prototype for the archetype for like this idea that we started to have, I looked up. I said, what's in the town of Tombstone? And this is back in the Wyatt Earp days, right, with the OK Corral. So I read this list off to Tony and Chris. So here you go, guys. So in Tombstone at that time in the 1800s, we had a bowling alley, four churches. So we have like zero, but they had four churches, an ice house, a school, two banks, three newspapers, an ice cream parlor, which you would have the ice house for, 110 saloons, 14. That's insanity. 14 gambling halls. There were numerous dance halls and brothels, obviously. The opera house, the Shiflin Hall Opera House, and the Birdcage Theater. And like I told you guys, Bonnie and I had been, we went to Tombstone once to tour it. Tombstone is not that big. Like, you can walk it in an hour. How they fit 110 fucking saloons in that place is beyond me. I will say, like, the numerous brothels and stuff, I think some of that was just residences. You know, just people's houses kind of thing. But anyway, so that's what they packed into Tombstone, the actual. So there's no real limit here to what we can or can't put in. And just, I want to hand this off to Tony here. We kind of talked about, like, it's a small border town, right? It's not Waterdeep. It's not New York. But that's a lot of stuff. That's way more than when I'm thinking my starting town. What's in it? Like, if I'm thinking of a Hamlet, right? The village of Hamlet or something, right? So, like, there's a lot there. So, what do you think?
So, yes, we're definitely a border town. We're on the outskirts of this world that we've created. But that kind of a setup says to me that there's money coming in. So, we have this kind of whole gold rush vibe still going on. So, there's money. Absolutely. So, people can afford to go to all these gambling halls and, you know, throw around all this cash and go to all these 110 places to drink, because what else are we doing? They wouldn't be there if that money wasn't.
Is it just me, or do we feel like I said, like, a lot of the brothels were probably just a lady's house, right? But, like, were some of the saloons
I've never
just
looked at that historically?
But, like, were some of the saloons just like, oh, that's just Gary's house, right? And he's got a couple.
He's just got, like, a table set out in front.
Are we including that in the count here? Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I'm just gonna throw this out, guys, too, for the audience. Write in. There are 110 slots that you guys can fill with your saloon in Boomtown Number One. So there's throw them out to us. We have plenty. We have 110. Possible slots, so let us know what you think.
Let's hear your names.
Yeah, and I think another thing that you wouldn't have in Boomtown, especially if we want to keep it small, is empty space and stuff like that. Kind of to your point, the way that things are stacked upon one another. Like, there would be a smallish town, it would be like Hamlet, where there's only going to be one or two general stores, right? There's going to be the one church and some of the illegal churches. There's going to be a couple.
Yeah, saloons. Definitely.
We're not going to, if there's 110 saloons, they'll be stacked on top of each other, right? Like, it's not going to occupy a small sort of space there. So there's going to be a lot of living on top of every one another. And then also limited resources a little bit, because obviously everything's coming in, but all of your, you know, your groceries and stuff like that essentially come via shipment from the corporation on the carriage and from other places, right? So that sort of rhythm of that stuff coming in means that you don't always have that, and the rich people may have better access to that, right? There would definitely be, I think, to Tony's point, there'd be the rich section of town, and then there'd be the crappy section of town, right? Where the crappy section would be people that do the sort of work, while the rich section would be people maybe connected with the corporation, as well as people that are profiting really well off of that, you know, criminally.
So I'm thinking with the saloons, they're all stacked on top of each other. I'm thinking we just build, if you, anybody out there has been to Ocean City, Maryland, to Secrets, Jamaica, USA, it's just like, it's like 30 bars in one large establishment. Like, that's what I'm thinking. We just have one giant saloon that has,
it's like Under Mountain.
It's a series of
saloons that goes deep underground.
Dude, our saloons are in the Underdark. Done. Yes. One thing I will say. So, Chris, that's a good point. So we have the split with, like, uptown, downtown, right? So to go off the archetype, we're not building Tombstone, but it's a good, for me, I think it's a good archetype, right? It's a good starting point. But one of the things they had there, which is where the Chinese immigrants came, who did, like, who were building railroad stuff, who were laundry, things like that, they called it Hop Town. And that was a whole other section of Tombstone, like kind of off the main drag. So in essence, like that could be like where a lot of like the working class and like that, like the normal people are. And then you have like the cosmopolitan area that's starting to build up. So we could have this thing somewhere between Hamlet and Tombstone, right? Like, because I kind of like the idea that there's a lot of stuff in this town because it's so bustling with commerce, right? There's so much money starting to flow through and so much power and influence. And it's rationed, Chris, like you said, with the like the trains are bringing supplies in or the airships or something. Who knows, right? We have a bunch of things we could do. But they're bringing in certain amounts of supplies that limit and ration how much is available of anything at any given time, right?
So I envision kind of like these larger scale ranchers that are there that live in like the bigger, more classic houses. They're on this land that's connected to the towns. And that's where I see like my, are your upscale, maybe a Boss Hog kind of guy, but like that's like your high-end characters would be. But with this, I'm thinking the law, they'd probably be concerned with like, air quotes, high crimes like murder, you know, stealing tech, you know, in-town theft, that kind of stuff. Like there would be a degree of lawlessness where the sheriff and his deputies just would not have time for shenanigans.
It would almost be like they would ignore Uptown, right? People in Uptown could do whatever the hell they want because they were the rich folks and they'd be stuck with, because if you figure if it's that bustling, there's that much money, there's that much stuff going on, there's 110 saloons, right? There's a huge undermountain of saloons there that you can go drink at. There's going to be
saloons of the Underdark. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of fights, crime, all kinds of stuff that's naturally going to spring from that, besides the stuff that's happening as the result of the shady corporation at Uptown. So, I mean, it's like they would almost act like if you were from Uptown, you could act almost lawlessly, right? Like it would be like you'd be above the law a little bit. Yeah, like
diplomatic immunity almost.
Yeah.
To add to that too, I mean, so yeah, like with our sheriff, our lawman of some whatever we're gonna finally this will turn out to be, like the call of it. I'm thinking that they work in the same way the sheriffs in the towns are U.S. Marshals. They worked for, in some fashion, the conglomerate, the corporation. Like they're a representative that is either sent there or hired on there to keep the peace, in essence. And they're mainly focused on what the corporate, they don't care about crime, like you were saying. They care about tech and getting it back to the corporation. And anything else that is a bothersome, do with it what you will. We don't really care. So it allows that level of lawlessness, right? And then, Chris, to build off your point, which made me think, like, Uptown is, they're almost above the law. So they are the ones that are actually starting to play with the black markets, and they're utilizing like the lower caste to operate that. But they're the ones who are, you know, kind of like doing that because they just want, you know, if you're rich, you want more, right? So like they're almost the ones that are trying to smuggle out stuff or something like that. That's more just like adventure and political.
I'm saying
stuff,
they're the parts where the quests could spring from, right? They're the families behind the things where these are the machinations happening that you're maybe encountering through meeting through people down in downtown versus uptown.
Because I will say, I do like the idea that obviously, like I mentioned this in one of the past episodes, but the idea that like if you could set an adventure in this campaign in like the East Coast, right, in the corporation, like the cities, right, and do a whole political intrigue and stuff. But I also like the idea that even in the boomtown itself, like if you wanted to run a quote-unquote town or city campaign, like there's enough there to allow that. It's not just a waypoint. It's not just the keep on the borderlands to go out to the Caves of Chaos or the Wastes. You can also, there's a lot that's also happening in the town too, you know? So I like that we have a lot of things that are building up in the town itself to allow that.
So that would definitely serve as a central location. What I'm kind of thinking about our take on the corporations and recovering tech is, what if it was not illegal for you to go and acquire the tech, but you were required to then turn it over and sell it? Keeping it is probably where the shit hits the fan, because we're encouraging, the corporation's encouraging people to go out and recover this stuff. It's a gold rush, but, you know.
Absolutely.
That's theirs.
And or almost like you would buy like the deed to a silver mine, right? So like in essence, you purchase a prospector's license or something, right, from the conglomerate that says you can go out and you're allowed to sell X amount. You are allowed to possibly keep X amount too. Like if you are a bonded prospector person, yeah, something like that, you know. But yeah, like that's all the corporation cares about, right?
I mean, it would work like it would be basically there would be your corporation prospectors, right, which would be a difficult process to get, right? You'd have to pay a lot of money or be from a big family to get a
lot of things, a lot of paperwork, and you have to fill out the paperwork in the adventure.
Yeah, like, that's and there would just be, and there would be everyone else who is out there prospecting, right? Like, and so there'd be a lot of that, like the, as I'm saying, unfortunately, with the, you only have, we have limited law there. There'd be the lawmen that would come in occasionally because there'd be rumors that there's a lot of prospecting going on that's not bonded or whatever like that and stuff like that. So you'd be able to have like the big lawmen come roll in from the corporate town to make sure that like what's going on, like a big band.
But I'm just saying, I like the idea. Like if you want to be a bonded corporate prospector, like, you have to, like, the DM requires you to fill out a certain amount of paperwork to do that, like, you know, and you have to do that in your on your own time, you know, not game time, you know.
So is dueling legal in this town?
Like pistols and stuff?
Sure.
I would, for me, I always like the idea that in those towns, like it wasn't like, you know, we think of the Wild West, you have the shootout in the at high noon and all that. But like that's nothing but a problem in the town, right? That's bad for business. So I would say like in the same way, like religion is illegal, right? In a lot of ways, or at least the prophet and stuff like that. But like magic, firearms, stuff like that, like, is not like there's no like if you want to pull guns in the saloon, like the marshal might be coming to talk to you, you know, and like I gotta take you before the judge, boys, in the morning, you know, that
hanging
type of
judge
thing. Yeah, right, you know, so because it's bad for business to just have people like firing just like flame cannons in the middle of a town, right?
I mean, but it could be like especially with the dichotomy. Ooh. Between uptown and downtown, it could not necessarily
the aristocracy.
Be, it's like not necessarily
the aristocracy.
Illegal. Yeah. But I'm just saying is that there would occasionally be duels between someone from uptown and someone from downtown, and in those cases, the downtown person would always be wrong. The other ones, but there would, there. I mean, there's going to have to be dueling, right? It wouldn't necessarily be like, you know, it's not punishable by hanging or anything like that. Maybe they put you for the night in the pokey or something like that. Right. You know, I don't think it would happen all the place, but I think that would be a cool dynamic to have there is that those kind of things would happen. And especially if you have different social classes where if it does happen, it's not quite the same. Right. It's not like, you know, someone from uptown can pretty much come down there and shoot whoever he wants. You know, he's like the guy from the friggin' Batman movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking, Chris, like what you were just saying made me think like with uptown. Like, so, Tony, you said dueling. Right. And I think that's a good way to word it, because it's not a gunfight. It's a duel. And dueling was always done by the aristocracy. Right. So like uptown between the houses, right, between the House Atreides and House Harkonnen, they might have.
It's always the spice.
Right. Yeah. Except here it's all the tech is the life. but like. My honor has been, you know, besmirched, good sir. I challenge you to a duel, like, and that is like a legal recourse by like the uptowners. But like just normal people, like they're held to a different standard kind of thing. It doesn't mean that gunfights don't break out or fights or bar fights, but there are consequences to those actions. You can't just be like straight out murder hoboing through Boomtown, right? Because like they're gonna, that's again bad for business. Somebody's gonna care, right?
No, for sure. I just envision this being really, in some respects, though, it's going to be lawless. Because when you have 110 saloons, I mean, exactly how many sheriff's deputies is on tap? If we're creating basically a mall that's two levels, it's all saloons. Like you can go.
Oh,
like
I want this to happen. I want it to happen.
Right? Sounds like a great business model.
It's just it's just Franklin Mills Mall, but it's just all saloons.
But I mean, if you think about it, even Tombstone, there wasn't a whole lot of sheriffs there. If anything, it was the sheriffs, and then it was some powerful gang or something like that that kept the peace, and there was some sort of a tension between them that kept some level of law.
Organized the town crime, itself, right?
Because they're not going to there's not going to be enough sheriffs to handle all of the things that are going on there. Otherwise, it makes it like you can't do anything there. Like you wouldn't be able to do anything illegal if there was too many sheriffs.
And a good thing to go off with that, Chris, I think, is that's where I think we have to meet somewhere between the village of Hamlet and Waterdeep. It has to be so. If it's Hamlet, right, where I can literally walk it in an hour, then it can't be that lawless because everyone, it's like your neighborhood, right?
Everybody's business.
Right. The larger it becomes more and more untenable to keep the peace. So we have to have it large enough or like sprawled out enough that there are sections that become a problem, and like one the sheriff and the deputy, you know, the new black sheriff and Gene Wilder can't handle all of it, right? They can't do the whole thing, and the mayor or the governor is like they're just a pawn to the conglomerate. They're caring about, you know, whatever. So yeah, like there's only so much that they can do, you know, and that's when they might have to call in the Pinkertons, right? Like we were talking about last week, where like every now and then, like the lawmen, like the real law, might roll into town with one of the food and supply shipments. And then it's like, you know, we got to martial law this town, you know, and that could also be something where you could play with too, you know?
Yeah, land's the one thing they got. So I completely could see this town perhaps isn't that big in terms of population, but it's spread out. So everyone wouldn't be on top of each other. You couldn't do anything. Everyone would be talking all the time. And I think that fits our vibe much more nicely.
And there's also, like, they border the wastes. Like, they border the unexplored wastes. So, like, stuff is going to come into town, too, right? I mean, you always have, like, the orcs attack possibility, too.
No, and you're going to have – I mean, we're going to at least have an uptown, a downtown, and then probably some other sort of a town outside that has, like, workers or something like that in it. So there's going to be enough buildings and areas that you can go to. But I think to Tony's point, it's going to be – populated weirdly, right? Like it's going to be, there's going to be people traveling in and out all the time, but there's going to be a smaller population of actual people that live there that are, you know, living and working the jobs there, so to speak, versus people that are coming and going via the corporation and prospecting.
Yeah. Like you have like uptown, downtown, and you have the main drag, and the main drag in essence, like geographically could be the very thing that connects the two. Right. So instead of the other side of the tracks, it's the other side of Main Street. Right. In essence. Right. And as you walk up Main Street, things become nicer towards uptown, you know, that type of thing. But that main drag is where the majority of, and it doesn't have to be one street. Right. But that's where the majority of all of the commerce or the markets and all of that kind of stuff is existing. Right. We can centralize that. And then you have all of this stuff and you can just start placing it out, little outpost towns, prospectors set up their cabin out on the waste, right? That type of stuff.
What if uptown, they're allowed to use some of the tech, so it's a super fancy area there.
That's what makes downtown, it even more uptown, right?
Versus downtown, which is just basically like lean-tos and concrete buildings and stuff with some level of really basic tech, but that's where it's all illegal and stuff like that. Whereas uptown, there's all kinds of like...
They have electricity, they have running water, right? They have the alchemical fires.
Yeah, they have like
the
airplane thing you can stand on, and it takes you along there. You can walk the walkway, the automated walkway.
No, I think that that's a great idea, because that plays into the idea of like the conglomerate, the corporation. Like, it's like we're in essence building the idea of the haves and the have-nots, right? So the haves have more and more and more, right? I mean, and you know, there is no allegory here, guys. but yeah, I like that idea that like you can play with some of the tech, and then people, I mean, you know, maybe you are gonna try to rob, you know, one of the great houses because they got all the stuff too, you know. Yeah, so that adds to even more stuff that you could play in the town for adventure as well.
So I guess one of my questions would be, as a player, I walk into this, you know, town that we've created. How do I get a magic gun?
You go and find it.
There's none for sale.
For me, like, and we kind of went to this in a way when we were talking about like the town and commerce couple episodes back, right? And like you made the point, Tony, where like you want to be able to use your gold and stuff, and you want to be able to buy some cool stuff. For me, I like the idea that some like more like mundane kind of magical items and stuff are possibly for sale for a certain amount. But I think you like either finding or building the tech, unless you go and steal it from someone, because that's the stuff like the weaponry, the really high-powered stuff, that's the stuff that they really want. If they let some of the crumbs fall off the table, some different potions and rings and stuff like that, then okay, right? And they'll let the rabble take that. But, like, the good stuff, they want it. So if you want it, you go and get it kind of thing.
I mean, it would be held by the criminal groups around the area, right? People acting illegally, as well as stuff being passed back. It'd be there. It just would be expensive. Like, you can get, like, it's a potion. They may have a gun. It's going to be that much more expensive because of its rarity. But I don't see why we shouldn't have it there.
Tony, let me throw on top of this, see what your thoughts are here. You too, Chris, obviously, you're also involved in that, but specifically about the magic gun thing. So this is actually, I was talking with John, Elizabeth's husband, John, and he had the idea like, yeah, you can go get a gun, but the gun is not what does it, it's the ammunition. And how do you get that? So one of the things that we could do to help allow for a level like Tony, you want to be able to get cooler stuff, right? And not just finding it in the Goblin Warren, right? But also like go and purchase it, right? What if I can purchase it, but I have to like purchase the magical ammunition, and that's the way in which you can then start to modulate how much, because then like, if I want to have a cool gun and I want to fire it off all the time, well, that's cool, but I also have to, like, you know, feed my horse and pay the rent and the carriage and all that kind of stuff. So I have to, that forces you to now make choices. Do I, you know, like, magic costs you something then? Does that make sense?
It does. And I like the idea that inherently you need to keep coming back to town to buy resources. I think that's definitely a good idea. I also think someone like perhaps an artificer in this world who's trying to work in the DL would have great notoriety, even if they're trying to keep it, you know, stay off the radar. But, you know, that's somebody you definitely want to be friends with.
Absolutely. And you would be able to. That's one of the adventure hooks, is you going out and getting that stuff and trying to get it surreptitiously and hide it from the people who know, but still being able to utilize the weapons, the ammunition, the armor, whatever it might be, right?
In many ways, like it's the stuff you bring back, maybe you don't want it. I want to sell it off and I want to get something else. Like, I think we have to leave the stuff there. It just has to be expensive enough that it becomes where it's a premium item, right? I can get this. I can go get a potion of healing. It's not that crazy. If I need to get something like a +1 yeah. sword or the equivalent there, that's much more expensive, just like in D&D costs.
Yeah.
You know, because people are going to want to, there has to be some level of commerce in there where you're going to have to be able to buy things besides just the standard of living stuff. When you're going to have some cash that you're going to want to spend.
Yeah, but just for me, like when I'm thinking about the town and stuff, and the idea that like this is a company town, it starts as a company town at the Boomtown, and then people start to populate it, and it begins to change, and lawlessness and black markets and all this kind of stuff, and the religion starts to happen, because that's what happens when people get together, right? But like I can't see going into the company town outside of me being a bonded lawman, a deputized sheriff, the bonded prospectors, right? Something like that, right? Like the corporation approved people. I can't see me going in and purchasing the tech that they want. I think I can purchase some things because, like, if I'm out on the range, I need to have like, you know, a rifle to help protect my land and, you know, against like invaders and things like that. So a level of things, but the real stuff is not like, I can't just walk into the Walmart in Boomtown and like be like, all right, yeah, give me that AR-15, you know, because they wouldn't just want to sell that off to everybody, you know?
I mean, you'd have to go deal with you'd have to go deal with the big bad people or somebody in Uptown who was illegally selling it, right? There would be some danger involved in getting it. You know, it yes. wouldn't be available in the yes. things there. But yeah, yes. it's, you know, but it would be available if you wanted to go talk to the seedier elements, the illegal, you know.
Or go talk to the illegal church that's underground and like gang. And they're stocking weapons, right? Like they're stocking weapons like a cult, right? And then they're selling them because like they're the resistance, right?
I think there's a balance there where we can offer some cool things for the players to buy in the town where they're not walking into the, you know, the gunsmith and you're like, oh yeah, I like that carbine and I'd also like Excalibur.
Yeah, yeah, like there is the standard of what people in Boomtowns use and carry and that like the approved merchandise, right? The conglomerate approved merchandise. Anything beyond that becomes shady, illegal. Black market, underhanded, you got to meet me in the back room, that type of thing, right? Like, yeah. So it okay. costs you something. It costs you not just money, but it costs you danger, right? Reputation. Yeah,
and inventory is limited. There's only what is there. I mean, I think that's the way you always control it, is the shop has these things. You can ask for this, but it's not there. It doesn't have everything that's in the Dungeon Master's Guide or something like that. This gang has these particular items. This shop in town, this illegal shop, has these particular items. The church has these three types of guns or potions or something like that. So you can control it a little bit. You can still offer it, but it's based upon what's ever in the town. If you want something different, you have to go search for it or try to go to another boom town that maybe has it. You have to go to like the new Walmart in the next town.
Yeah.
They don't have it in your store.
No, it's actually what you guys are saying is actually like, I think I was getting a little lost in the weeds of like, that's literally what you do with any campaign setting or any adventure. You're running it the way you want to and you modulate as you want to. Right. So, but yeah, that just that high overview of like, that idea that like the tech is, you know, the tech is the life, right? But yeah, okay, so I think it's about time though for some final thoughts on this. So I think we have a really good idea of what this town is looking like, and obviously you just fill in now, like, you know, we have the general layout and now we could just fill in things. That's the easiest part, right? But it's getting that idea of how is the town situated and the powers that be. So what do you guys think on this old town, Boomtown number one? Some final thoughts.
It sounds like it's bustling with life. And while it doesn't have a really super high population, Not everybody's on top of each other. They're spread out. And there's a lot of things that can be done with the wealth you're trying to accumulate. So it kind of creates a perpetual hook. You want to go out there into the wastes and acquire coin, wealth, tech, bring it back, and then you have things to spend it on. And then you could draw plots and open up new areas from there. But it has a degree of lawlessness. There are laws. You can't go absolutely hog wild. But they're going to let a lot of things slide because there's so much happening. You know, we've got our Franklin Mills ball of alcohol. We can't exactly, you know, police every bar fight there, nor would you want to.
It's totally happening, dude. Maybe not in every Boomtown, but Boomtown 1 the Franklin Mills of alcohol. Yes.
Right? Like, you could have, like, just one that just like whiskey shots. Like, that's all they do. You go to there, but if you want vodka, you got to go down, like, get to the first floor.
But like Undermountain or Saloon Undermountain. But the thing that I like about what we built is that you can have a bunch of different types of adventures out there. There's political intrigue, obviously, with the uptown, downtown kind of thing and the corporation, right? So you have that sort of triangle and illegal activities going on. You have adventure where you can go out into the wastes and go look for stuff. There's mystery, obviously, inside of the town. Things like that can happen. I think there's a lot of cool places where you could go and find things to do, right? There's a natural, there's a natural purpose to the town, like it's to go out into the waste. So it's not just this amorphous place that's sitting out there. So everyone in there has a kind of a vibe to them. So I think it's a really cool place to start an adventure because you could create quests out of many different things inside of it, which is a good way to kind of frame a town like that, right? Like it shouldn't just be a place. It should have a good mix of that sort of political intrigue, adventure, mystery kind of thing so that it can be many different things.
For me, I thought that, like, because we started off and we kind of just started naming, like, well, this would be in the town and this and this and this. And then I brought up the idea, like, when you're building out a town, like, what isn't there, right? And what isn't there started us on a path of, okay, well, that leads to they're the underground, they're this, they're, you know. And it kind of let us, so seeing what you don't have can oftentimes lead to some of the what might be there. What I will say again too, size. A lot of times when we're thinking about towns, especially a border town, we think very small, and it makes sense, right? You can have a very small village of hamlet style town, and that's good for starting adventures, right? I mean, most starting adventures have this, you roll into the small town and maybe there's three taverns and there's a general store and there's a mercantile shop and there's a blacksmith, right? But I mean, real border towns did also become larger, and what we were talking about, like when we talk about the sheriff and law and lawlessness, the bigger it becomes, the more lawlessness makes sense, right? The small town, I'm not just going to go rob my neighbor on my street, right? Like, that's George. Like, I like George, right? He gave me some sugar that one day.
Give me that,
right?
Lawnmower.
Right, like, he helped me with his pound cake he bought, and he brought it over for Christmas. Like, and I'm going to fucking rob the guy, you know? But the larger, the more that becomes them, well, now I'll rob them. And the one of the things, as you guys were talking for your final thoughts, made me think, Tony, one of the things for money falls into what Chris and I were talking about when we started talking about the economy. And we were talking about, are we doing gold, silver, and copper? Are we doing a standard of living? Are we doing a resource rank? But when we have this idea in Boomtown of the uptown and the downtown, and we have the uptown becomes above the law, they have access to tech. They have, like, they could go and duel and kill a person that they don't like. They might even be able to kill a person in downtown with very little consequence, right? Then that means wealth equals status. So one of the ways in which I might want to utilize my wealth is to get to uptown. You know, so like Chris, we were talking about the idea of having like a resource payment like per week of your adventuring life. Like you can have hard scrabble, common, and flush, and that gives you a standard of living that kind of handles the accounting of the town. But if I can keep building and building and putting more wealth in, then my status increases, and then my ability to get weaponry and get tech also increases too. So I think that's a cool, it's a way in which like you're playing the political game to fight against the conglomerate or join them. Who the hell knows what adventurers want to do, right? So that was just an idea at the end of mine that I think would be fun to play with. So this was a great episode, though. I think we have a really good sense of what a Boomtown looks like. We will be letting you guys know what Boomtown number one is going to be called when you vote. So we have been looking at all the votes, and we will reveal that maybe next episode, maybe before that, too, on the socials. So if you're not already, start to follow us. You can reach us at 3wisedms.com. You can reach out to us directly at 3wisedms@gmail.com. But please follow us and subscribe on Facebook, Instagram. We're at 3wisedms. That's where a lot of this conversation is happening as we kind of community build this Boomtown campaign setting that we have, which has been really fun. And you guys have been really, really active. And we thank you for that. Obviously, like we've been doing this as our experiment, but we are a podcast of DMs with problems. We like to help DMs with problems. So if you have any problems, again, reach out to us at all of those, at the website, our Gmail, Facebook, Instagram. We love to help you just kind of talk out some of the issues you might be having at the table. And when you're, you know, I love tables. So I think like for like the what's available at the shops and stuff, I think make yourself a table of 12 possibilities, because a D12 is never fucking used except for a barbarian, and I'm tired of it. In our Ravenloft one shot, I made all the tables I did D12s. So I got to roll my D12 all night long.
They're coming to your house now.
Yeah, and for that, you go to our affiliate link at FanRoll Dice. FanRollDice.com/REF/2871. You put in the code 3WiseDMs10. That's the number 3. Wise DMs, the number 10. You get 10% off your order of all D12s. They might have a whole set of just fucking D12s. I don't know. They're crazy over there. But they do a good product. Head on over. Support them. Support the podcast. So that's going to be it for us this week, and as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on 3 Wise Deals.